1-800-521-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Wednesday, April 17th edition of Talk Back. Talk Back this morning brought to you by Y West Storage out at the Y, of course. They're located at 70992 Smokes Way. If you want to find out exactly how much they cost and if there's a storage unit available for you, here's the number, 406-510-0590, because at Y West, we're making room for you. Phillips Janitorial does both residential and commercial cleaning, no job too big or too small. So whatever it is, call them, 406-260-6617. That's Phillips Janitorial. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, where appointments are preferred for mastectomy fittings and custom compressions, but walk-ins are always welcome.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, welcome, everybody. Good to have you along. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen, right over there, taking your phone calls and producing TalkBack this morning. And we are privileged to have with us once again our bi-monthly visit. Even though tax season is over, and you can tell he's walking a little lighter right now. The one and only Walt Kiro joining us here in the studio.
Walt. Yeah, I'm in day two of recovery.
Okay.
Yeah. The issue with tax season is the closer you get to the deadline, the more intense and the workload becomes, because it gets concentrated and it gets to the point where you almost like you're punch drunk, and where you've had cabin fever for hours and days and weeks. So
this is why I don't wait till the last minute to get Walt do my taxes. I want him fresh.
Yeah. I am so, now, but yeah, yes, Monday was not good.
Yeah, yeah. So how was the season for you? I mean, was it super busy, moderately busy, what?
Well, we're extremely busy, and I've mentioned this in previous shows, that there's an extreme shortage of accountants out there. So what's happening is people are retiring, dying, getting out of the profession or whatever, and so there's fewer preparers out there. And this may come as a shock, but my Ramsey Trusted group that we meet once a month, in March, our meeting, a very nice lady from Frederick, Maryland, mentioned her peers were giving her a bad time about her minimum or her standard fee being too low. And in addition to that, the story out there in that part of the country, they were quoting fees of $1,000 to do a W-2 return. And I goes, oh, my gosh, that might be super bad over there. You know, just there's nobody around.
Right.
And so then the question becomes, well, people will go to other methods if they have to pay that much for a W-2 return. And, it's just doesn't bode well for the future, because until we get more tax preparers out there, is just going to get worse and worse.
Well, now here's the deal. Even though tax day has come and gone, right?
Yeah.
There are still folks out there that are struggling. Maybe they have to file an extension. Maybe they have some problems they didn't expect to encounter while doing their taxes. And there's a lot of freaking out going on out there. Because tax day has come and gone. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So, Walt is here to answer your questions. If you just calm you down, give you some good advice, right?
Yeah. Well, if you don't have an extension, I urge you to file as quickly as possible, because there's a whole plethora, multitude of penalties that come with not filing on time. And the worst is what we call a late file penalty, and that's 5% a month of the tax owed, up to 25%. So in 5 months, your tax bill just went up a quarter. And whoa, that's pretty stiff. So if you got an extension, you're fine. You're good until October 15th to file. But it doesn't give you time to pay. So if you expect to owe tax and you have a rough idea what it is, it's best to send it in with the extension. So, but most people don't have a clue.
Right.
at April 15th. But if that's the case, then you try to use the prior year to bake You know, make some kind of a projection of what you
well, what, whatever though. Whatever it is, you're making a good faith effort, right?
Yes.
That's, yeah, anyway.
Oh, yeah. And the system penalizes, and I mentioned this before, they really hate it when you don't give them their paper. Now, they're a little less forgiving when you don't give them the money. You know, the penalties aren't as bad for that, but they're worse on paper.
Yeah, just don't ignore them.
Yeah, that's right.
They hate being ignored. They're very sensitive that way.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we're going to come right back. Phone lines are open if you have a question or a comment for Walt Kiro, a resident CPA. And hopefully you've got the tension sliding off your shoulders now. The tax season is over, but you may have some questions. Give us a call, 721-1290. We'll be right back.
A chance of snow showers in the higher elevations this morning, turning to rain in the afternoon as we warm into the upper 40s. The ground is fairly warm, so valley accumulations will be limited to unpaved surfaces. Some of those snow showers could return this evening, although the chance of precipitation will drop to 20% before midnight. We'll clear off Thursday morning as lows drop below freezing and then kick in some sun as we warm to near 50. Sunshine and warmer temperatures for the weekend.
We're back. This is Talk Back. Walt Kiro, our resident CPA from Kiro Byington and Associates, joining us here in the studio this morning. And we have Ed waiting on the line. Ed, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back with Walt. What's your question, please?
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. Well, as usual, I go through the Montana subtractions schedule, all 37 things that the state panders to.
Yeah.
But what really got my attention this time was number 25, certain expenses incurred by marijuana businesses.
Uh-huh.
And it says see instructions, but my laptop is having problems. I really can't do that. But what expenses incurred by marijuana businesses would the state have an interest in, forgiving?
Oh, okay. Well, they're treating it as a deduction. And Ed, you're going to really be amazed at what I have to say about this, because we have to first start with the federal taxation of marijuana businesses. And what happens there is that you can deduct your cost of sales. You know, in other words, what it takes for you to produce the product and all that, and you can deduct that. But distribution expenses, as the tax code goes, is not an allowable deduction on the federal return. So Ed the marijuana dispenser can report your sales, and that's a big dollar item, and you can deduct your cost of goods sold, whatever it takes to get that product on the marketplace and ready for sale and sold. But you can't deduct selling and administrative expenses, distribution expenses, and all that. So I haven't seen that. I don't do dispensary returns, but what the state is doing is obviously allowing those distribution expenses to be deducted because they're not on the federal return. Does that make any sense?
If I sell hay, doesn't apply.
Right. Doesn't apply. This is what do we want to call it? This has got 50 million names. We'll just call it marijuana. But
yeah,
there's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
And all that's based on the Constitution. The U.S. federal Constitution is mainly there that there has to do something with why they allow cost of goods sold to be deducted, but nothing else. And so, whoa.
Thanks.
Anyway.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Now, my question is, if, and I believe it is, if marijuana is still illegal as a Schedule I drug with the federal government.
Yeah.
How in the world can the Internal Revenue Service turn around and say, well, you're selling this stuff, even though it's illegal on a national level, we have to deal with it on a state-by-state level. So how do they bring that all together? I'm really curious about that.
Well, the states allow it, and so, but it, you know, in terms of federal taxation, it doesn't matter. It's a gross receipt from any kind of resource. And so pretty much that's going to be taxable. And so You could argue it's ill-gotten gain, but Al Capone thought he was tax-free too, but that didn't work out so well for him.
And I do know that up until very recently, because the FDIC was, you know, abiding by the federal governments, it's a federal agency, they were not, they wanted nothing to do with the cash from marijuana businesses. So banks that were insured by the FDIC weren't allowed to take cash from marijuana dispensaries.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's changed. I think the credit unions stepped in and said, well, we can certainly handle that. We have a different kind of charter. So I'm wondering if that's still out there.
I think it is. We could maybe somebody out in radio land is a retired banker and knows for sure. But
there are so many of these dispensaries around Missoula, all around Montana. It's legal here now.
Yeah.
And whether it's big town, small town, whatever it might be, there are lots and lots of folks growing and selling recreational and medicinal marijuana right now.
Yes. Yeah. If you remember when coffee stops kind of came into being about 20 years ago, they were on every street corner. And then after a while, some of them weed out. So I expect the same thing. Weed out.
I was going to let you catch that one. All right, we're up against a break. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And if we don't get a call, I have a very important question to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back.
Put your thinking cap on.
Exactly. We'll be right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Phone calls are coming in, so you're safe. Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back after this.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
And we are back. We're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is our producer, taking your phone calls. Walt Kiro is our featured guest, as he is every couple of weeks here on TalkBack, now that tax season is over. And we have three folks waiting to visit with you. Let's jump in right now and say good morning to Mr. Wingnut. Mr. Nutt, go ahead.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
This is going to be kind of this will be kind of a off-the-wall question here, but since Ed brought up marijuana, you know, I've thought about this quite a bit, and mainly because we're told that it's just Montana's way to recreate, and the latest ads on KGVO are that, you know, they're just a bunch of local farmers doing, they're supporting families, and it really doesn't matter where they came from, whether it's from California or China, they're just a bunch of local folks. But, you know, it's becoming increasingly the tie-in with both health issues, from which, you know, just common sense, you know, sucking smoke into your lungs cannot be a good thing. And secondly, the tie with psychosis in especially young men. And so, you know, I've been thinking that what really needs to happen is the price of pot needs to double or triple to start to offset the expenses of treating these kinds of problems associated with marijuana use. So that's my kind of a random thought. And you know, as Rush Limbaugh would say, it's all for the children.
You know, yeah, it's all for the kids. Yeah.
All right.
So, and I know there's problems with, you know, it just drive them to do it, you know, black market or, you know, barter economies and that kind of stuff. But, you know, other things that happens too, whether it's, you know, construction or whatnot. So anyway, that's kind of my random thought for toss out there this morning. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, Mr. Wingnut, you brought up the point I was going to respond to is that if you drive up the price, you make up what they call the black market. I mean, cigarettes was a classic example. When Canada raised their cigarette tax, God, people were flying across Lake Erie in their boats going to Cleveland buying cigarettes by the boatload and taking them back. And so that's what you get is a black market. But the other thing with drugs is that people will look for substitution. So instead of marijuana, they'll go probably get fentanyl, which is, you know, originating in China in raw form, and then it's moved to Mexico, and then it's refined in Mexico and put in pill form and then distributed in the U.S. So you got not only black markets, but you got substitution of products. And so you could chase people from marijuana to fentanyl or something else is worse. So that's my comment on it.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And this is Larry's up next. Larry, good morning. You're on with Walt Kiro. Go ahead.
Hi, Larry.
Good morning. I was listening or reading an article, and they mentioned the property tax rebate. And I wondered, do we have to do anything to get that this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't remember if you have to or not, but you do have to do, there is some action on your part you have to do to get that second year of the property tax rebate, the $675.
Yeah.
Well, I'll research that.
I thought it was $1,300 or something, but I guess if they don't tell us, then a lot of us will forget and they'll go back to the general fund or something. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they, you know, I found it over my practice life that if the government has some money, has a responsibility to pay a bill, sometimes they're quiet about it. They don't say anything, just like you're talking about.
Trust me. Just trust me.
Yes. Well, I is there a deadline, too, that has to be applied?
I think it's in August, but I, you know, Larry, I've been so buried with the present that to look forward a month was really a difficult thing for me. But now I have a chance to do that, and I will do so. On the next radio show, I'll make a commitment to do that.
He's actually writing it down, Larry. I'm watching him do that right now.
Well, I'm surprised that you're even on the radio. I thought you'd be going up in smoke or something.
Monday night was close. Monday night, it was close to getting smoked out.
You might not want to say that right after we got done talking about marijuana, okay?
Yeah.
I was trying to form a link there, but I didn't do a very good job.
Oh, okay. But yesterday was good.
I'll look forward to that.
All right, Larry.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Larry.
Thanks for the call. Right. Let's get one more call in before we have to take a break. I believe it is Maggie who's up next. Hey, Maggie, good morning. You're on with Walt Kiro. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Maggie.
Good morning. Yes, I had a question now that tax season is over, but I found conflicting information about how old, let's see, I had a working teenager, how much money she can make before she has to claim her own taxes, and I can no longer claim her as a dependent.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of things to bear in mind. The rules for dependency are different than the rules for filing. And so we got two sets of rules here.
Maybe that's why I was so confused.
Yeah, that's why these tax laws are just so simple.
Yeah.
But the thing is that for a child that's a dependent, they can make about up to, it's like $5,000-$6,000 before they have a tax liability because they get a standard deduction up to about that amount. Even though they're considered a dependent, but it gets even trickier after that, because if this child has more than $1,000 or so of interest and dividend income, then they can get caught up with what's called the kiddie tax. And so let's say you're, George Soros, and you make megabucks. And if you're in a maximum tax rate, the kiddie tax imposes that maximum tax rate on your kids on that interest and dividend income up above $1,000. So you've kicked Pandora's box open with those questions. But the general scheme of things, most people will want to file a return because if your child makes $6,000, there's usually federal and Montana withholding, and you want to get that back.
Sure. Okay.
And there's nothing to prevent you, as long as the dependent qualifies, you can claim that person as a dependent, as long as they're a full-time student. Both in high school and college.
That's where someone said if she made too much, then she would not. I can't claim her, and she claims her own. And even though it was under the general deduction.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, where this comes into play, as long as they're a full-time student, high school and college, and if they're under 23 and a half, you can claim them as a dependent. Some people try to kick them out the door because there's another competing factor, and that's called FAFSA. And some people, the kids will get more FAFSA support if they're on their own than instead of being declared as their parent.
All right. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. You just, like I say, you made a simple thing complex, but that's the law. That's the problem.
Thank you for your call. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. We have Beth and Jerry both waiting to visit with Walt Curo already of Mr. Popularity.
Beth and Jerry, is that like ice cream?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We're going to come right back with more. I don't want to go there. We'll be back right after this.
A chance of snow showers in the higher elevations this morning, turning to rain in the afternoon as we warm into the upper 40s. The ground is fairly warm, so valley accumulations will be limited to unpaved surfaces. Some of those snow showers could return this evening, although the chance of precipitation will drop to 20% before midnight. We'll clear off Thursday morning as lows drop below freezing and then kick in some sun as we warm to near 50. Sunshine and warmer temperatures for the weekend.
Hey, welcome back. This is Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Questions and producing Talk Back this morning here in the studio with us, Walt Curo from Curo Byington and Associates. All right. So we're talking taxes today. Beth has been waiting on the phone the longest. Beth, good morning. You're on with Walt. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Beth.
Thank you, Walt, for all the help that you give us out here in Radio Land.
Well, good. That's why I appreciate that. Thank you.
Last year, not too far ago last year, you spoke about the gift, money gift that we give to our children.
Yes.
And it was something about, I have a son and married, and if I wanted to gift them both, didn't you say that you had to do it separate or you have to do some paperwork?
Oh, yeah. If you do, well, it gets a little confusing, but you can make a gift up to $17,000 per year per donee. It's a funny name because most spell checks will say this isn't a word, but it is a word, donee, the person getting the gift. Now, where you have to file a gift tax return is as if you and your spouse, assuming you're married, want to make what they call a split gift. In other words, you just write one check for $34,000. Then you need to file a gift tax return to reflect that it's a split gift. It doesn't change anything. It's just a paper filing requirement. And if you, and so that's what I was talking about in the past.
And to avoid that paperwork a thing, it's all right to do it, say 17 or whatever, to my son and his wife, two different taxes.
Yeah, you can write two checks. The gift tax form comes in when you write one check. That's the best way to describe it. The okay. legal discussion that goes on that is crazy, but that's what it boils down to. It makes it easy. And and you can do that per year. That lift that $17,000 is subject to inflation adjustment. So probably in a year or two, it'll go up again. So
okay. And then one more question.
Sure.
I was listening to the Ramsey show actually last night, and he was suggesting to people to zero out their credit cards, meaning not zero it out so that you don't owe anything, but close the thing. Can you give some advice to that?
Well, it gets kind of interesting because I'm Ramsey Trusted. I can't disparage things, but there are some caveats to his discussion with that. But the general rule is, yeah, get rid of your credit cards. I use my credit card because I pay it off every month. So I just treat it as a purchasing vehicle. I also have a debit card, but I get mileage, airline miles with my United Airlines credit card. But I pay it off, so I'm not incurring any finance charges. The only cost I pay is the membership fee to use the card from Chase Bank. So
You said something about your credit. Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's just there's when you split the hairs and get down to the bottom line, I don't think, you know, a lot of people can't do that. They can't pay off their credit card every month. And I've had some months where the charge is running through because I got my business charges going through. It can be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in a given month. And so, I just pay that off. And so it just comes in and it goes out. And the biggest thing is avoiding the finance charges.
Right, so that you keep it at zero, you're good for that. But he said something about it gets you tied up with some kind of credit score situation where, I don't know, that you're on lists and there's a lot of things going on with your name and...
Yeah, well, that is true.
Have your credit card and keep paying it off, you're saying, I'm thinking. Right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, don't have a plethora of credit cards. I have one credit card and one debit card.
Yeah, same with myself. And I don't even use my credit card except for some purchases that I've established with one company that they just have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much.
Oh, you bet.
To the rest of what y'all talking about.
Okay. Thanks, Beth.
Thanks for the call, Beth. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout, talk with Jerry. And by the way, we have several phone lines open. If you have a tax question for Walt, just like Beth's or all the other folks that have called in so far this morning, that's the specific reason he is here, is to answer your tax questions for free. So 721-1290 is our number. We're coming right back. Okay, we're back. This is Talk Back 7. I missed up my commentary. Anyway, Walt Carroll joining us here in the studio this morning. Let's get Jerry on the line. He's been waiting very patiently. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, thank you for taking my call this morning. Mm-hmm. I've got one simple question for Walt, but I'd like to vent a little bit.
Go for it.
I was signing off on my taxes last Friday, and I was totally overwhelmed. And bug-eyed at the number of taxes packages that Walt had to process, and I had to put my signature on a couple pages, and I was done. But that each tax thing was multiple pages long, and I'm wondering how do you really file all of those things? So, with a push of the button or what. But my real vent is I've got my sign up in my yard that I'm taxed enough already.
Uh-huh.
And I feel sorry for the school districts and the police department and the fire department and all the people that need that money to continue to live. And I get frustrated with Missoula because they will never tell us how much money the MRA takes out of the tax base. And I could go on and on about that. But I am taxed already, and I'm going to vote no. And I don't know how we get the city to tell us how much the tax base. I really think it's time to sunset the MRA and get those taxes back on the tax rolls for the county and the schools and the fire and police department. So that's my vent for the day, and I'll get off the line and listen to your response and how you get all those taxes in.
Well, Jerry, that seems to be one of your I guess it's not a pet peeve, it's just a peeve. And it seems to me that even though if you could get a hold of the mills that are levied for that MRA, that you could take, you should be able to find somewhere the assessed values that are paying that MRA tax, and then you would able to calculate your own estimate of the tax. It seems kind of crazy they won't discuss that. I mean, supposedly we are in a transparent government, but if they don't disclose that, that seems to be a big problem.
Oh, okay, he's gone. All right,
okay.
So let's move on. I believe Joe is up next. Joe, good morning. You're on Talkback, sir. What's on your mind?
Hi, Joe.
Hi there. The other day I got to hear this testimony on Congress of the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury about the money that we've been giving to Iran, you know. And he didn't even use the word fungibility anymore. Because I actually had heard the Ayatollah, several months ago, say, we'll spend the money however we want to, you know.
Yeah.
And this Treasury Secretary guy, he said that they spend that money immediately. They do not spend it for humanitarian aid to their people or medicine or food or anything like that. They send it right out the door for their what do they call their military? The IDF or something?
Iran Revolutionary Guard is part of it.
Yeah, that money, all that money. And so do you, you know, specifically, this issue came up because there was Bob Seidenschwartz brought on this journalist who said that, Trump, he's at fault for the breakdown of the nuclear deal. But she didn't really even know how many billions of dollars the Iranians have made since Biden got in on oil, or how much money we just handed them over, like, for hostages. But anyway, if you want to talk about fungibility, I don't think fungibility matters anymore because now they attacked directly.
Yeah, well, I think...
They're not using proxies.
Yeah, okay, Joe. Well, the term fungible is kind of a loaded term, and maybe Pat Barkey would be best to explain fungible. But I think because of inflation and the amount of government excess spending is turning our currency and turning our value of our dollar not into something that's fungible, but something that's more like jello. And it could disappear even quicker than you can blink an eye, just because the money itself won't disappear, but the value will disappear. And they're talking about inflation coming back. Now, it never really went away, but, we'll just have to wait and see what the future beholds. But the current trend isn't good.
Fungible, by the way, I looked it up. Says here, in economics and law, fungibility is the property of a good or commodity whose individual units are essentially interchangeable. In legal terms, that affects how legal rights apply to such items.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
Clear as mud.
Yep. Yep.
All right, let's get Steve. Steve is on the line right now. Steve, good morning. You're on with Walt Caro. What's your question, sir?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Walt. Always great to hear your voice. You bring such knowledge and reason to the guests on this show, and really deeply appreciate you joining as often as you do.
Oh, hey, thank you.
You bet. Hey, I apologize, Peter, if you've already made this announcement, but I just wanted to make sure Walt and yourself were aware and your listeners were aware that today is the fourth urban camping work group.
Uh-huh.
From noon to 4:50 at Stockman Training Center at 3. And for the first time ever, we'll be taking public.
Well, you know what, Steve? You're breaking up. You're breaking up here. So you might want to hang up and call back, and because this sounds like pretty important information. So
yeah, it sounds like you might be on the move too.
Yeah. Oh, so I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break right now. And Steve, if you want to call back with a better connection, I'm sure this is information that everybody would want to hear. So we're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Or, hey, you can use the KGVO app anywhere in the world and message us on TalkBack. So we'll be right back. We're back. This is TalkBack. Let's try to get Steve back on the line. He was trying to make an important point and his phone was cutting out. So, Steve, let's try again. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, guys, I apologize for that. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm going from job to job here in Missoula. Indoors, by the way, and not outside.
Oh.
Hey, just wanted to reiterate, 3615 Stockman Training Center. Today, the homeless working group is going to take public comment. I'm not sure, Peter, if you'd announce that to your listeners or not, but talk about public participation as being critical. We often hear from callers who are really concerned about this issue, how it's degrading their experience living in this beautiful city. And I just wanted to call and encourage folks like yourself, folks like Walt, who I know, Walt, you've talked about this issue even before outside of just tax advice. Encourage listeners.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, thank you. Thank you
for
the call.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. All right. So Mike has a quick comment to share with us. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Mike.
No problem. How are you today?
Better than I deserve.
Oh. How are you today?
Oh.
We're doing just fine. What's on your mind, Mike?
Okay. I just wanted to let Walt know that I recommended him to a fellow employee, and the fellow employee recently came back and said that Walt did an awesome job, which makes me feel like a superhero. And
yeah?
Makes Walt look like a superhero. Yeah. She moved here recently from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And had to pay that stupid penalty tax and sold her home and everything. Was all worried about taxes. And I walked into the office and she said, gosh, Mike, that Walt guy, he's awesome.
Yeah,
and
well.
You're my accountant.
Your referral was Megan. Is that right?
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, it came out okay, at least from what I could see.
She was happy, very happy, and I just want any listeners out there that have got any kind of issues or tax problems or something like that, please go see Walt.
Sounds great.
Okay, well, hey, thanks.
Wow.
Thanks for the
no extra charge on that one, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should bring that up because I belong to a group of Ramsey trusted tax preparers from around the country, and our fearless leader is a lady by the name of Connor, who works in the Ramsey main office. But we meet once a month via Zoom, and this month's topic is exactly what you're talking about. What do you do to create a good experience for the potential client? And this is it. I put down word of mouth and just doing a good job for existing clients.
And being on the radio.
Yeah, that don't hurt.
Yeah, I rarely recommend people just because it comes back to bite you in the you know what.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad I recommended you, Walt.
Oh, well, thanks, Mike. How much do I need to pay you?
Guess why we have the 5-second delay.
You do an awesome job. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for the call. Wow. Okay. We have 2 minutes left. So, and what in your stack of stuff, real quick?
Atticus Finch.
Yes.
I think I can do Atticus Finch in 2 minutes.
Go for it.
Okay. I have done the tax return for a small town attorney in Montana, and it's a remote place, but I've done his return. He got audited by the IRS 3 years in a row. And the reason why he got picked for an audit, and this is good for everybody out in radio land, if you have a Schedule C with a loss, you got a big target on your hind end. And this was the case of Atticus. Atticus was a unique situation because he got a W-2 from the city and the county where he worked, because he was the city attorney and the county attorney, and the city he was in was the county seat. So he had good W-2s, but then he had his own side business, and the side business had a secretary. So his income was from a source that was different than his expenses. So his Schedule C for his law practice was always a loss. And the IRS just kept saying, how can an attorney lose money? Well, you just have facts and circumstances. So Atticus prevailed all 3 years, and I finally convinced them to just go away. And so they did. And so after that, it's been smooth sailing. So,
yeah, for those who don't know who Atticus Finch is, he's, mm-hmm. he's been chosen recently as the most memorable, most respected fictional character in American literature.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and
from
he
to
was
Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird, and yeah.
And he was played by
Gregory Peck.
Thank you.
Yeah, and who was the daughter's name in the show?
Scout.
Scout. That's yes. Right. Anyway.
Scout and Jem.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I know my old movies, baby. Let me tell you. All right. So we're going to take a break. The phone lines are clear. Walt Kiro is done with 1 hour. He's got another hour to go.
Can we stand it?
I think I hope you will. If we can, you can.
Oh, yeah. I can. Right. No problem.
You might want to get in line, though. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Walt will be taking calls right after the top of the hour news with Fox. So hope you'll do that. And by the way, if you haven't done it yet, download the KGVO app, because that way you can message us and get that just that much more quickly to Walt. We'll be back.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of TalkBack for this Wednesday, April 17th, as the snow comes drifting down. All right, here we go. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply, where their mission remains the same, to restore confidence and comfort into your daily life. Also brought to you by Y West Storage out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. Need a storage unit? Here's what you do. Call 406-510-0590. Put it in your phone. Y West Storage is making room for you. And by Phillips Janitorial. And they do both residential and commercial cleaning, by the way. So if you don't have time or you're just too tired, give them a call at 406-260-6617, because no job is too big or too small.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
We're back. This is TalkBack, and we are privileged to have with us Walt Kiro, our resident CPA from Kiro Buying & Associates. Nick Questions, and standing by to take your phone calls this morning. A busy first hour, sir.
Oh, yes, yes. And Nick's busy. He hasn't even had a chance to look up.
All right. So now, in lieu of calls, you promised me that in lieu of calls that we could talk about this. Because I think this is fascinating. Because, as you know, I'm getting up there in years. It doesn't sound like it. I'm, you know, immature. But anyway, I'm still old. Anyway, it says here that one of your stack of stuff items is... Are headstones tax deductible?
Yes.
Not that I'm anticipating anything.
Oh, yeah.
But to let my heirs know. But tell us what's going on with this. Well, and who would care?
Yeah, well, like all of my clients, I tell them with regards to the end of life, don't be in any rush. That being said, are headstones tax deductible? Well, the answer in certain cases is yes. And here's the general guidelines. And I think we'll have a little news story on it to get into the details. But if you pay for a headstone out of an estate bank account, then you can create a tax deduction for the estate. And there are certain other funeral expenses that are deductible as long as they're direct and associated with the funeral. And I'll get more into details with that later in a different time and venue. But the answer is yes. So when I ran across this, I was just totally shocked. And how we ran across it, we're doing an estate return for somebody, and they had listed that as an expense. Of course, that was we got the information from an attorney, and this is an out-of-state estate. And anyway, I was just, well, I never heard of such a thing. That's a personal expense. But as it turns out, in rarefied circumstances, you can deduct the cost of a headstone. Now, I really put emphasis on that because you have to be very careful. You cannot pay for the headstone with the bank account of the deceased or the deceased spouse or a joint account between the deceased and deceased spouse. Or as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the answer for sure to this, but a trust. You need to have an estate account set up. And an employer identification number and all those little goody things with an entity. But an estate is an entity. And if the estate pays for the headstone, then you've created a tax deduction. So there you have it.
I'm sorry. The quintessential saying is the two things in life you can't avoid, death. And taxes.
Right.
And now you have married the two together in a way that people might really be able to understand.
So. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anyway, so when you drive by the cemetery or go visit Aunt Martha or whatever and talk to her and say, you know, we should have done it this way. We wouldn't have to spend all that money on your headstone.
Well, you still have to pay for it, but you would get a tax deduction.
Yes.
So anyway, but yeah, you got to be very careful out there because most of the time, at least half of the, you know, you have a married couple, half of the people are going to pay for the headstone with a joint bank account. And that's not a trust bank. That's not an estate account. So I keep hammering on that because you can get into trouble by deducting it, not paying for it with an estate check.
That is one of the things that I've learned in working with you these many years is the one word we simply cannot use in taxes, and that is assume.
Yes.
Because you know what? That makes an ass out of you and me, and I know that's a terrible joke, but it really does, especially when it comes to taxes.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. And as we get farther into our economic lives, it just gets more and more complex.
All right. With that, we're up against our first break. 721-1290 is our number. If you have a tax question for Walt, it doesn't have to be about headstones, whatever it might be, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And in lieu of that, we still have the majority of your stack of stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I'll be able to go through it pretty quickly, I hope.
Great. So we're going to come right back. 721-1290 is the number. If you have a tax question, give us a call right now.
A chance of snow showers in the higher elevations this morning, turning to rain in the afternoon as we warm into the upper 40s. The ground is fairly warm, so valley accumulations will be limited to unpaved surfaces. Some of those snow showers could return this evening, although the chance of precipitation will drop to 20% before midnight. We'll clear off Thursday morning as lows drop below freezing and then kick in some sun as we warm to near 50. Sunshine and warmer temperatures for the weekend.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. The aforementioned snow lightly falling here in western Montana right now outside our patented exclusive weather window. But Walt Kiro joining us here in the studio this morning, our resident CPA from Kiro Byington & Associates, answering your general tax questions. Jeff is up next. Mr. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Peter, for putting the fun in fungible.
Any old time. No extra charge.
There you go. And we have bright sunshine right now up here, so I think you can look forward to that fairly shortly.
We'll take it.
I have two questions. One is serious about taxes. The first is that back as you, I don't think you recall, but when I filed for my rebate in August, I found out that the federal government had never acknowledged receipt of my 2020 federal tax return. And so after going through a bunch of different hoops trying to find out, you know, what happened to it, in February, we refiled it. And I just got a letter dated April 8th that I had owed an additional $163 in taxes. I had paid, you know, I had owed just over $21,000. And I had paid just under $21,000. So, you know, I had been a bad boy, and that paid, you know, whatever minuscule percentage of $21,000 in taxes that was. But they have, in addition to the $163 that I owed them, they have assigned me $435 in penalties and $106 in interest.
Yeah.
For a total of... total of $704.
Yeah.
And so I have sent that off to my accountant. I think I can reasonably assume that all that will get waived because we can have proof that we filed it on time. Am I correct?
If you have proof that you filed it on time and it was a, for lack of a better term, ministerial error on the part of the IRS, you can get all that backed off. But it, okay, the burden of proof is on you to show that they screwed up.
Well, my accountant has a electronic filing returns payment log, and he had an entry that was that it was filed. I think we had an extension that year.
Yeah.
And that we filed it on 7/16.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an electronic record of that, but there was nothing other than that.
Huh.
It said sent to the IRS, return received by Intuit, return received by Intuit, return sent to the state.
Yeah.
So that log entry, does that suffice?
That should work. Now, the thing is that here's what happens electronically. The Montana tax return is piggybacked. It's attached to the federal return. So when we electronically file the return on taxpayers' behalf, both files go to the IRS. And since we're in this area, they go to Ogden. Then the IRS will transmit the Montana portion of that file to the state. And it all takes place in a matter of minutes because we get a notification back. If we go back and check right away, we can find where the IRS acknowledges the transmission and they acknowledge the acceptance of the return. And I get that all the time. But if you have all those things, Jeff, you should be able to get all of that penalty and interest abated.
Yeah, well, I found out that the state did not receive the return for the reason you stated, that it's dependent on the federal, but I guess basically to forward it on when you file electronically.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had in August I started it, and by October I previously called out, kudos to her, a lady on the Department of Revenue staff named Sheila Stevens, who was a big help in actually getting the rebate. Even though the return had not formally entered the Montana system, they saw that I'd paid taxes in 19 and in 21, and I'd sent them all the information, and they gave me the rebate. I'm not really worried about that. I'm just this $704 in fees and, or, you know.
Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it?
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, you do what you're supposed to do, and it ends up not working, and then you get blamed for it and fined because they screwed it up.
So. Yeah, remember this, no good deed goes unpunished. So you did a good deed, you're getting punished. That's par for the course.
That's one of my favorite Claire Booth Luce quotes. My other rant, and this is it has to do with some previous conversations regarding marijuana, but it led me down this road. It's about Sudafed.
Oh,
back
yeah.
In 2006, the Patriot Act, because I guess some people were buying large amounts of pseudoephedrine, the little red pills that you take for colds,
yeah,
and turning them into meth. So all of that went behind the counter, and you have to go. You have to sign forms and logs and everything to make sure you're not taking up too much Sudafed. Meanwhile, there's another chemical that they just moved on to that's even cheaper and used in, swimming pools that they can make meth out of.
Oh, boy.
And we have legal marijuana all over the place, mm-hmm. but I still have to sign for Sudafed. And I'm just wondering if there's some legislators out there who can do something about letting me just get my cold medication, particularly now in allergy season. I just want to stop sneezing. I don't want to do anything else. Can I just please get my Sudafed back?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish you luck there.
Well, I would recommend this. The next time either Ryan Zinke or Steve Daines or any of those legislators who are coming to our studio to answer questions, you might want to give them a call and ask them about that, because that is something that has to be done legislatively.
Yeah, it has to be done at the federal level.
Right.
Again, the Patriot Act, which is, you know, the whole FISA thing is all part of that, and that I won't even get started on that.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, we're up against a break. Thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. We have Dave and Kathy both waiting. And, of course, several other phone lines open for Walt Kirod here to answer your tax questions this morning. And we'll be right back with more after this.
This is Brandon.
Thinking about retirement? Make sure a My Social Security account is a part of your plan. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can find out if you're eligible to receive benefits, compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates, view spousal benefit estimates, and more. Plan for your future. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We are keeping Walt Kirod busy this morning with all of your wonderful calls. 721-1290 is our number. He's our resident CPA, by the way. And I believe we have Dave standing by. Dave, thank you for holding, sir. You're on Talk Back with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Walt, I have a question for you here. Recently, we just filed our taxes, federal and state taxes, and we got $18 back from the state, so I think I got my Montana state tax rate set right, but I got a huge return on the federal side.
Wow. That's unusual, but go ahead.
Yeah, it is, but it's just, you know, I don't want them to be my piggy bank, you know.
Right.
So this is my first full year. 2023 is my first full year being retired and pulling from my 401k. Where could I find some documentation to educate me on how to set that up more closely?
Oh, the withholding?
Yeah, the withholding on it, yeah.
Yeah, here's the quick and dirty what I would do. Now, hopefully I won't go too fast, but I would take your tax liability, which is about, line 60 of your 1040, you know, and take that amount and divide it by your taxable income to get a tax rate. Let me see. I did that. I got to do that the other way around. Take your taxable income, which I think is the bottom line of the first page, and divide that by your net tax liability after credits and whatnot. And so let's say you come to, you end up with a tax rate of 14%. What I would do is make my federal withholding to tie close to that, say 15%. And then you need Montana too, and you can just use either 5 or 6% on Montana and go from there. You're bringing up one of the things I've noticed this year, and when I said, wow, that's different, most people, a lot of people, are ending up owing federal tax because the withholding tables have gotten so messed up. They're so screwed up. And they're under withholding on the Fed, and Montana's always been staying about the same. So we're seeing a lot of tax owed on the federal return and a lot of Montana refunds. So it's kind of somewhat the opposite of what you're having. But anyway, that's what I would do, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I followed all that, but I just wanted to, you know, is there some place that I can go online and kind of look at that to see?
That's what I'm afraid to have you do, because what happens with the federal system, they have an online function with the IRS for like W-4 withholding. And the withholding function for retirement is very similar. But the IRS decided to pare down the withholding, and so they instituted that into their website and into their program. The only problem is it is so confusing and so complex that most people don't understand it. So what you could do to save all this headache, Dave, is call the party, the 401k administrator or third party administrator or whoever, and say, can you set my withholding to this percent? That's the easiest way.
That's what they did refer me to do, and they gave me a kind of a ballpark, and then they said to consult a tax CPA.
Yeah. Well, I'd be happy to help you, because it only takes a few minutes to do that, both federal and state.
Okay.
And so,
Okay, well, I'll probably touch base with you later on then.
Sure.
I'll give you a call.
All right. You bet. Okay, Dave.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate that. Right. And let's get Kathy on the line. Kathy, good morning. You're on with Walt Kiro. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Kathy.
My question is about my Social Security 1099.
Yeah.
I never did get it. And I called and called and called. I don't know how many times Social Security. And it said there was a computational error or issue or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I still haven't got it.
Oh, okay.
I finally talked to somebody that helped and said that I could go ahead and do my taxes. And, you know, to say we hadn't got the form yet, which is mm-hmm. what I did.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So, well, I've had a couple of clients where they didn't get their 1099, but one client was able to go online and get a substitute form from Social Security. So they were able to get it online. Now, I don't know your computer prowess, but...
Yeah, I checked online for it to try to get one. It didn't even have 2023 on there.
Oh.
It just goes through 2022.
Oh, well.
And they couldn't even look it up at Social Security either.
Well, that doesn't make...
They said this has never happened.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay. Oh, can you set up an appointment with the local Social Security office? That's where I'd go.
I was going to do that, but I called a lady. I called two or three times, called them and some other places, Social Security, whoever got. And they just said half of them wouldn't believe me, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they tried looking it up themselves, and they couldn't even look it up.
Right. And that's why I think your quickest solution to this problem would be, you know where the Social Security office here is in Missoula?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's right behind Home Depot. But first...
Yeah, I called and talked to somebody there, too.
Yeah, I would try to set up an appointment and have a sit-down visit. And that way you can, you know, go back and forth. Because there may be some really weird thing that happened that, you know, who knows? The permutations of possibilities are endless with this kind of issue, but
right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, be persistent. Keep at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully I can get them to do something, but I just wondered if it had ever happened, you'd ever heard of it before.
I haven't heard of this happening. I've heard of some people not getting them because of mailing and address and this and that and the other thing, but I've always been able to get the substitute form online.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't.
This doesn't.
Yeah, I personally haven't been able to go online and get it for my clients, but they themselves have been able to get them.
Yes. Hopefully I can get some answers from them somewhere. I just wondered if you had ever had anything like this happen before that you never could get it.
Yeah, not that they couldn't get it.
I'm just concerned it might be an ongoing issue next year, too.
It shouldn't be. I think this is just a glitch, but who knows for sure. But the only way to know is go in and grab the bull by the horns and wrestle it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good luck. And let us know what happens, Kathy.
Yes, please keep us apprised, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, give us a call back when you have a solution. All right, we're going to come right back. Joe is waiting very patiently to visit with Walt. And we have all of our other phone lines open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. You got a tax question. Even though April 15th has come and gone, people still have lots of tax questions. So that's why Walt is here, is to answer them. We're going to come right back after this.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment. Email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back, 721-1290. That's our number, and Walt Kuro is our resident CPA from Kuro Byington & Associates. He's been answering calls about taxes all morning long. Let's continue. Joe, thanks for holding through the break, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for having me again. The Vladimir Lenin allegedly said that the best way to destroy a capitalist economy is to debase the currency.
Yeah.
So I've got a list of things, and I'm sure we could add to it, but because of the spending that we're doing, we're the debt that we're carrying and everything in this country, we're destroying it. But, NPR has a whistleblower, a 25-year veteran who just came out, and he criticized their liberal bent that they have in their reporting, but they didn't challenge anything that he said in factually.
But they suspended him.
And they suspended him for 5 days. But he would have been fired if he had lied. You know, if he said something that wasn't true, you would definitely have fired him. But anyway, so I'm adding NPR to my list. I think we could get rid of Homeland Security. It's a redundancy. We've already got border and protection. And the Department of Education, NPR should not be funded because they're buckling right down on it and saying that they have every right to misrepresent the truth, but they don't have that right to do it on the taxpayer's dime. You know, they can do anything they want as a journalist, like Rachel Maddow, but if you want to add anything to the list or
the Department of Energy, that could be dispensed with real easy.
Okay.
Yeah, and one of my favorites is, I'm sure it'll never get anywhere, is a 10% reduction across the board for 3 years, and after the end of 3 years we'll see if there's anything left. that needs to be cut. But, you know, as we've talked before, you know, when you have a household and your income is limited and you're faced with a job layoff or something, what do? You go and look at your discretionary expenses and you cut out what you need to. There's no reason why the government couldn't do that as well. But you'll hear all kinds of stories. Well, we're required to do this. We're required to do this. We're da 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 da. And it just gives you a very strong sense that you can't believe what you're being told.
Yeah, they're impeaching Mayorkas right now.
Yeah,
that's fascinating to watch.
Well, it's not going to go anywhere because the Senate will never convict him. So. Anyway.
But at least they'll have a trial.
Yeah.
And how about FISA courts? Can we get rid of that?
I think I wouldn't get rid of it, but what I would do is mandate that they have to get an approval from a judge, you know? And right now they're trying to circumvent that and avoid having to do that, to get a warrant from a judge. I think if that's mandated in there, that'll slow the IRS, and not the IRS, but the FBI and the CIA and all those other critters.
By the way, if you're wondering, the FISA stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's being used to spy on people in the United States, even though it's not supposed to.
Yeah, it's secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's great.
And we love our secrets.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
thanks for the call. We do we have an app question. Nick, what's going
on,
sir?
All right. Hugh said, would Walt support a flat tax? Seems we could save everyone a lot of trouble with a 10% flat tax. Take all the special interest tax breaks out of the equation.
Oh, well, the idea of a flat tax has been around quite a while. The rate that it would have to be would be more like 17 to 20%. And then you would have to add in the element that people want to be fair. So you'd have to have some sort of graduation system in there in order to make it feasible to get approved.
To make it equitable. That's what they would call it, equitable, right?
Well,
something like that.
Yeah, but I always run from the word equity or equitable.
Okay,
because it's a scary thing, because what they're saying then is that the government wants to pick and choose winners and losers.
Right.
And the law should not be set up to do that. And I understand, the graduated income tax system, because you're trying to tie it to the ability to pay, but it's gone so far on steroids, our tax laws, that about half the country half the taxpayers in the country pay little or no federal income tax, and so half the other half of the country is supporting the other half, and so at a point certain you're going to get tired of that, and people will just say the heck with you.
And then, that's when they work and find and hire people to carve out special niches for them, so they don't have to bear that much burden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what rich people can do.
Yeah, yep. A flat tax is appealing because it is simplified. But I can just name a bunch of things. You're going to tax work comp. You're going to tax disability. You're going to go. You're going to go down through a whole laundry list of things that create a lot of difficulties, and a flat tax would have to fight all that. So you could try it. I don't think it'll get there. It's going to be like the sales tax in Montana, general sales tax. It has some good points to it, but overall, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
We're going to come right back. We have Steve waiting to visit with you, and several other phone lines are open. If you have a tax question, only about 18 minutes left for Walt to answer your questions today. So take advantage of this over 50 years of experience in serving folks around Montana with tax and accounting and that sort of thing. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We'll be right back.
Need to replace your Social Security card? In most states, you can request one online with a My Social Security account. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can also get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's the day for Walt Kiro. It's not tax day. Tax day is come and gone, but yeah. We're still talking taxes with our resident CPA, Walt Kiro from Kiro Byington and Associates. Carl is a new caller, so let's get Carl on the line. Good morning, Carl. You're on with Walt. What's your question?
Hi, Carl.
Walt, do you think KGVO is a good balance to NPR, to the rhetoric of good educational perspective on both slants?
Well, I'm kind of biased because I would say without any question, yes, because you get different sorts here. You've got people that are liberal and conservative and in between. And I always feel more comfortable when you have, quote, diversity of opinion and thought, because then you have a good exchange of ideas. But like in the case of NPR, 87% of their editorial content writers were Democrats and liberals, and zero for Republicans and conservatives. Well, I mean, that on its face should tell you a lot. And in fact, it begs the question, why is NPR getting public money? Because they're actually a wing of the Democrat Party.
Listen to me very carefully. When George Bushwhacker tried to whack NPR, Congress voted overwhelmingly to regard NPR for the fact that they are a good source of information, but you need to go get a balance of information from KGVO, and they are substantial. And like I've said, I come to Missoula, and they were a breath of sanity when I discovered KGVO a year ago.
Well, thank you, Carl. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thanks for the call, and thanks for the support. We appreciate it. All right. Let's get Steve on the line next. Steve, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, Walt, favorite guest, as you know. Hey, quick question for you. My House District Representative, Wayne Rusk, he voted no for the special tax property tax session back this past spring. He didn't support it. Because as he wrote me, Teresa Manzella did, and he's running against her for a state Senate seat. That was his reasoning for voting no. His opponent wanted to get together in Helena and meet in April and find a way to save the taxpayers and property taxes. He didn't want to do that because Teresa supported it. I mean, you can't, you know, the ego is just unbelievable, powerful force in politics, as you can see there. So Wayne didn't support trying to reduce property taxes in that April session. I'm curious, were you hopeful that the legislators would have gotten together in April to hold that special session to figure some ways out to save the average taxpayer in Montana on their property taxes? Thanks.
Oh, okay, Steve. The answer is no. I was too darn busy. I did have a little bit of information with regards to the income taxes and what changes those were made, but I was way too busy. And we did have I'm on a committee with the Montana Society of CPAs, and you know, once a week on Monday mornings at 7 o'clock, we'd have a conference call to discuss incoming legislative things. But that happened a year ago. And, I've only caught wind of some of this stuff after the end of tax filing season, both a year ago and right now. I did mention to the governor when he was on last time about a couple of ideas that I had for his task force. And I said, what's the best way to get it to him? And he gave me a suggestion. So away we go. And the two suggestions were to cut spending. And then the other one was to introduce a homestead exemption similar to what Texas did. So the homestead exemption, let's just pick a number, say $80,000 of value will not be taxed on every property owner. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts there, because rich people, poor people, wealthy property owners, not so wealthy property owners would get the same break. And a lot of states have that. And so I think that would be one way of tackling the issue.
Really stupid question, but maybe the listeners would benefit from this question as well. How would, if the state spent less or Missoula County spent less, for example, how does that specifically have a trickle-down effect on less property taxes if what the taxes are based off of is property value assessments? I'm not sure. And believe me, I want the state and city to spend less, but I just don't understand how spending less has a trickle-down effect on property tax assessment. Do you have a sense there or understand that at all?
Yeah, the tie-in would be is when the people, the county commissioners or the city council go down to sit down and assess, determine how many mills they need, that's where the rubber meets the road is when they assess mills. But before they can assess the mills, they need to know what they predict they'll spend. But most people, when they predict what they're going to spend, they overestimate. So sure. You end up with bloated budgets, and they say, God, we need to do this. We need this. And you have 50 departments that all say the same thing. And then all of a sudden, boom. I wish, and if I had a magic wand, I would Peter Pan everybody and go pa-ding and say, we're going to reward you if you spend less. But right now,
I wish you had that wand, Walt. I think everybody listening to you right now wishes you had that wand. You're a man of reason and sense and knowledge, and we love you. Thank you so much for your input. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's see. I believe Harry is on. Harry, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Harry.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Walt. Yeah, I hear a lot of people bemoan the fact that, you know, about half the people don't pay taxes. But that ain't the problem. It's that half the people ain't making enough money to pay taxes. I mean, that level is not that high. I mean, these people aren't making, you know, $60,000, $70,000 and not paying taxes. They're, you know, way down low. So the fact that they're just not making enough money to pay taxes. And also the idea that the dollar, by, you know, having more currency out there devalues the dollar. The dollars don't work that way. It's not based on supply. The value of the dollar is just all on demand. As long as other countries keep using our dollar and want our dollar, it's going to have a value. That's where the value comes from. I mean, since dollars themselves are nothing, I mean, really, they're just digits on a computer who can be, you know, can be added. So it's not like, you know, it's a rare thing. They can make them up as much as they want to. But as long as the other countries want our dollar, the value will stay high. And what will devalue it is if the stupid Congress keep playing games, shutting down, or at least threatening to shut down the economy and this and that and the other thing. That's what caused them to, some Moody's or somebody to lower our rating.
Credit
was because
rating.
Of that stuff. It wasn't not nothing to do with the amount of dollars out there. It was about whether our country is playing stupid politics games. That's what the problem is.
Well, right. Yeah, politicians do to muddy things up, but I'll just be brief. One of my talking points on the stack of stuff was for people out there who are low income, sometimes it's worthwhile to file a return, a federal return, even if it's not required. And the reason is there are earned income tax credits, child tax credits, credits for other dependents, and education credits. So you can get money back even though you're poor and you don't even have to file a return. So you need to look at everything. So anyway.
With that, we're going to take our final break. It's a 60-second timeout. We have Jeff and Ed both waiting to visit with you again. So we're going to come right back with more with Walt Carroll after this 60-second timeout. We're back. This is Talk Back. We only have a few precious minutes left, so let's get as many calls in as we can for Walt Kiro, our resident CPA. Jeff is back. Jeff, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, Jeff is back. Very briefly, though. There is no such thing as a tax loophole. There's only tax law and who takes advantage of that. Here's an example. Is that what Donald Trump proposed and Congress passed legislation that would reduce the reduction or the amount you can claim for state and local taxes, SALT,
in return for increasing the standard deduction. Mm-hmm. And the people who gripe about that are not the lower taxpayers. They are folks in Chuck Schumer's constituency, folks who make a lot of money, who wanted to deduct a lot of it of state and local taxes, but now cannot. They're limited to $10,000. I believe that's still the limit.
Yeah, and that's, so that's still that in was, place.
Right. So that was not a loophole. That was something passed by Congress because they said that they wanted to increase taxes on the wealthy. Well, now the wealthy are coming back and saying, no, we don't want that. And I don't even qualify for that anymore. I don't make enough money. So the people who do make money are complaining. And the folks on the high end of the scale. And if Congress passes any changes to this state and local tax limits, it's going to be on behalf of their wealthy constituents, mm-hmm. not on everybody else. So I just want people out there to understand this is not a loophole. This is a feature, not a flaw. It was taken out by Congress at the recommendation of one of the country's wealthiest people to try to level the playing field, so to speak. And if that deduction comes back into place to benefit the wealthy, that's going to be because of people like Chuck Schumer.
All right.
End of rant. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Now, let's get one more call in before we have to say goodbye. Mark is up. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on with Walt. What's your question?
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Walt. I was just wanted to follow up on what Harry just said about the dollar and its worth not being affected by how much dollars in circulation. If there was $1 trillion in circulation and we printed an extra $1 trillion, it just devalued the amount of money in circulation by half. I mean, it's pretty basic. That's why we have the inflation going on now. I love listening to Harry, over the years, just in his opinions, because they're not always close to mine. But that was just factually inaccurate. And I would like to hear your comment on that.
All right.
Well, when these kinds of questions come up, I'm just always fascinated to go back and listen to Milton Friedman, because the guy was eloquent. He stated everything in simple terms, and he just knew his stuff. And even today, Thomas Sowell from the Hoover Institute of like capacity, they're just brilliant. And I firmly believe, as Milton Friedman discusses, that the money supply directly affects inflation and the value of the currency. I didn't get a chance to mention to Harry that I think if the dollar gets decoupled from the currency of choice in the world, that I don't think that's going to bode well for the U.S. But we'll see.
All right, so we are running up against our time is almost up, so we have about a minute and a half for you to share some contact information. If folks want to get, I know tax season's over, but you're still at
work.
Yeah,
well, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm downtown on 269 West Front. Phone number is 406-549-2288. We have a website, kbcpas.net. But another place, and this is always, you can go to Dave Ramsey, Ramsey Trusted, and get in touch with me that way.
Excellent. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Walt.
Oh, it's been fabulous. I enjoyed this.
And again, you guys, you're hitting it out of the park every time we have our guests on, and even on open phones. Our listeners are they're amazingly connected and want to be part of what's going on. So we appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. And Jeff's last call with regards to the salt deduction, I'll discuss what Montana did. The governor passed a bill, and 34 other states have bills to kind of take some of the sting away from the state and local tax deduction. So it's kind of clever, but it works, and the IRS approved it. That's all that matters, and we're using it for our clients.
Sounds good. Walt, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so Mr. Yeah. Nick, as we look forward to what's coming up on tomorrow's fabulous program, sir.
We're going to do open phones from 8 to 9, and then it'll be the Chamber Hour with the Missoula Chamber of Commerce, 9 to 10.
All right, Mark Loesch, and I had a chance to visit with him about some of the things they'll be talking about, and it's always a great program because there's so much going on. Now that Mark has returned as chairman, CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. So anyway, that's all coming up. I just want to say that tomorrow and Friday, yours truly will be filling in for Ace Sour Wine. He's taking a couple of well-deserved days off. And so I will be in to do Montana Morning both Thursday and Friday of this week. And then, of course, those will both lead into other talkback shows. So again, our thanks to Walt Kiro, and thanks to all of our callers this morning. And as I'm looking outside my patented exclusive weather window, it's snowing. What can I tell you? Gosh, it must be April 17th. Anyway, so hopefully it's not going to stick. It'll come and go, and we'll hope for the best on that. So again, thank you for calling. We appreciate it, and we will see you tomorrow morning bright and early at 6, as I'll be filling in, as I did for many, many years, for the Montana Morning News program. Looking forward to that. So, all right, get out there and please drive safely as the snow falls, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 on Montana Morning.